You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Hey, this is Lee Baucom. Welcome to the Save the Marriage Podcast. This is the podcast designed to help you save your marriage no matter where it is. You could be just married and trying to figure out how to head off problems down the road, or you could be on the verge of divorce and anywhere in between. And I'm here to give you some advice on how to save your marriage. And the reason that I say it can happen at any stage is because the same issues are true at every stage of the problems in the marriage. When we want to start building a marriage, we want to avoid some traps. When we're at the end of a marriage, there are some things we can do to pull it back from the edge. As you're looking at the precipice of where the marriage can go, there are still some things that have to fundamentally be there in order to save your marriage. So today I want to talk about one of those things, and that's to start with this question of what is your why? What is your why of why you're saving your marriage? It starts with what is your why of why you want to be married. And the reason I want to bring this up is because it is the fundamental, foundational starting point for any process of saving your marriage. A lot of people will come to me and say, how do I save my marriage? And my response is, let's start with why you're going to save your marriage. Let's not jump into how you do it until you have a why. And here's the reason. When we don't have a strong place of foundation, when we don't have a strong point of why we're doing this, you end up getting stuck. You end up spending lots of time trying to figure out the techniques, the tricks, the ways of communicating, the ways of miscommunicating a lot of the times if you follow the popular ideas on the internet, but the ways to kind of trick your spouse. And I think that's the wrong way. I think you start with genuine communication with the spouse, and you start with a genuine reason why you want to save your marriage. And if you start there, you're going to realize very quickly that the ideas of reverse psychology or casting some hypnotic spell or some other piece that you might have seen on the internet is just not the place to begin. If you're starting with manipulation, the relationship is not going to get very far because it's based on this manipulation. So what do I mean by what is your why? Well, these are the fundamental reasons why you want the marriage to work, why you want to save the marriage, why that relationship is important to you and why it's there. So let's start with how you might get there. Let's be very clear that if your marriage is on the precipice, if you feel your marriage is on the edge, whether it's because of infidelity or just neglect over the years, or maybe even high conflict, when you're starting there, you're starting from a point of fear. At some point, when you have realized that your marriage is in trouble, you're going to have an immediate response of fear. That's just the nature of humans because there's some threat to your normal. And so as you begin to work through that fear, as that fear falls away, as you kind of get used to the panic, if that's the only thing that's motivating you, it's going to be a failure. It's not going to hold you through. So let's start a project. What I want you to do is begin to think about the reasons why you want to save your marriage, and not just think about it, but write them down. Take out a piece of paper and write down every reason you can come up with. And I would suggest that you aim for at least 10 reasons and preferably 15 or 20 reasons why you want to save your marriage. Now, a lot of those are going to focus around loss and fears of what might happen. So if you're just at the beginning of a relationship, this is going to be a lot easier. If you're at that point where you're trying to avoid problems, this is still an important exercise, but the nice thing is you're probably not responding out of that same fear factor, but do the exercise anyway. And then your goal is to come up with 5 to 8 different reasons why you want to save this relationship. In other words, why do you always want to be in this marriage? That really is that's the why, right? Why do I always want to be with this person? So at the top, you can write down reasons why I want to be married, reasons why I want to avoid ending the marriage. Those are two of the same questions. And then underneath that, begin that list. Remember, aim for 10, preferably 20 reasons. And the reason I give you that number is it's going to make you dig. The first ones are going to come pretty quickly. And a lot of the first ones are going to be fear-based. So as you're writing down that list, you're immediately going to be hit with kind of the financial issues. that you realize that it's going to be very costly to have two households. And immediately, suddenly, your income level has dropped. And that even is true if only one of you has been working and the other's been maintaining the household. The reason is because suddenly, you know, there's less threshold. Whoever has been working out of the house, unless they're going to give up connection with children, are going to have to change work life. And the person who's been in the house and depending on that piece of income now has to step up and figure out how to create some income. And so either way, there's a financial impact. Now, the financial impact, generally, if you look at the statistics, the financial impact is pretty significant, that the amount of income into a household automatically diminishes, and that makes sense. But then we begin to look at the other pieces of that. For instance, insurance costs go up. When it goes from a family policy to a couple of individuals with children's policy, the price is going to go up for the combined amount of everybody being insured. Or if you look at the fact that you're now supporting two households, that's two house payments or two rental payments, plus two insurance payments on that, plus two different electrical and heating and all those other utilities. And so you begin to compound it. Suddenly you have to have two cable programs, right? And two cell phone programs, and all those pieces begin to add up. So the first thing you might write down is that you're fearful of the financial impact, the immediate financial impact. Another one might be that you're concerned about the financial cost of a divorce. You may not know it, but just a few years ago, the average cost of a divorce in the U.S. is $20,000. That's the legal fees. We're not talking about the loss anywhere else, but just the legal fees of about $20,000. A lot of that money gets burned up with the attorneys, and then you've got all the filing fees and all the mediation costs. So the average cost in the U.S. is $20,000. Now, does that mean that you'll pay $20,000? You may pay less, you may pay more. The average cost. So if you begin to factor in that the average cost is $20,000, that's a significant hit to a family. Okay, then you start adding into that the financial cost of retirement. Suddenly the retirement program is going to be divided, right? And so that has an impact. The value of a house might have to be divided. Someone might have to repay that house. What I'm saying here is that you're going to notice some immediate fears you have written down about the financial fears. Then you might have the next relational fears, that suddenly you're not going to have as much access to your children as you did before. And that's true regardless of which side you're on, right? And so the impact of a parental contact with a child is there. That's an impact that most people say, wow, I really don't want to have to deal with that. Or perhaps you're thinking about kind of the loss of the relationships in extended family. There's a fear of the loss of extended family because when the divorce happens, you know, you begin to have to choose how you're going to relate to your spouse's extended family. And then you can think about the other places that get divided, friends, those kinds of things. So you begin can think about those fear pieces that are there. Then there are some other questions and other reasons that emerge. And some of those might be that you believe in the commitment you made at the wedding, that there's a belief and commitment to following through on vows made. You may say that you have a desire to create a strong marriage example for your kids, that they might be able to see that. And this is particularly true when people come from broken families. A lot of times they come out of broken families and they go, I don't want to have my kids go through what I went through. It's also possible that you had an intact family and you say, I really want to provide that same thing for my family. But either way, there is this level that you say, I want to show my kids what commitment means and how to get through difficult times. Now, those are some important reasons why that people can name as, here's why I want to maintain this relationship. Those are guiding principles. Those are deep, rich reasons why you might want to hang on to this relationship. Okay, so now your list is getting a little bit longer, right? It has both of those immediate need and kind of a continuing need issues, the fears of what might be lost. And then there are also those others that are kind of much more aspirational. And you're going to notice that this is a pattern, that you have both the fear-based reasons why you would hold on to it, and then you have the aspirational reasons. If you're someone who has been listening to my Thriveology podcast, then you know that we've now struck on a strong issue for me in how we thrive in life. And that's to understand that we have both types of fears within us. We have both types of beliefs within us. They're the fear-based and then the aspirational-based. And often they are contained in that same place where, as we look at moving forward, we have both our fears of how we move forward and our hopes of how we move forward. So as you create your list, you'll begin to notice that they are of two types. They are the fear-based, and those are usually about what you might lose. And then they're the aspirational-based, and those are what you would like to create, what you would like to demonstrate, what you would like to show. And as you create your list, I want you to make it as long as and as complete as you can. Here's why. Once you have all of the list down, I want you to pare down the list. Pare down only to the ones that are aspirational. In other words, if you're looking at a reason and you realize it has fear attached, cross it off your list. Cross off all of those fears and all of the pieces that are about loss. And once you've crossed them all off, you've narrowed down your list to the aspirational reasons why. These aspirational listings of why you want to save your marriage are incredibly important to hold in front of you, because there are going to be times when you get frustrated, when things aren't going well, when things are just not looking good. And this list is another way of kind of beginning to navigate around. It ends up being a compass. It gives you the direction. It reminds you of why you're doing this. It becomes kind of your GPS of this whole process. So there are a lot of techniques on how you might get there. It's kind of like when you're driving with your GPS. There's a map there. That's not going to tell you how to steer your car or how to use the gas pedal and the brakes, but it's going to tell you the direction to go. And that is important, to have that direction, so that no matter what's happening, no matter what's going on, you know the direction that you want to head. You know the way you want to kind of move forward. This is important for a very particular reason. Our human brain doesn't stay fearful forever. The longer you are caught up in a fear response, the more your brain gets used to it. So while the particular fear may not stay there, the way it motivates you will. The longer you have that fear, and think about that any time. You know, the first time you might get a notice from a bill collector, you know, it strikes fear into you. But if you get multiple notices from the bill collector, suddenly it's just like, oh, it's just another piece of mail. The same thing is still going on all along, but the effect it has on you has lessened. And so the problem with that is that over time, those fear reasons, you'll either get used to them or figure out how to work around them. They will no longer be motivational in your life. What we know from lots of study of psychology is that fear only motivates us in the short term. Aspirations motivate us forever. When we have our reasons why we're doing something and they are aspirational, they guide our path for much longer and much more effectively than if we're looking at the fear. When you think about how people invest their lives, it's around the things that are important to them. The fear pieces fall away. And so over time, you're going to lose track of those fearful pieces anyway. They're not going to motivate you, and they don't particularly help you move forward. But the GPS here, the thing that is going to keep you going, are those aspirational beliefs. So now you have your list, and you've marked out all the ones that are fear-based, and you're only up to the aspirational-based. Those are the ones that you want to keep on a list. Move them to another list, and that list is the one you're going to pull out in your dark moments. And there will be dark moments. There are always dark moments in this process. There are times when you think this should be going better than it is, or there are times when you think, I just can't keep going. I don't have the energy. I don't have the attention. I don't have what it takes to get through this. And then you look at your list and you go, but I have a reason why, so I'm going to regroup. I'm going to find more energy. I'm going to continue through. As you begin thinking about this process, no matter where you are in the process, if your marriage is on the edge and you are just now starting to work on it, or your marriage is on the edge and you have been working on this for months, or maybe your marriage is just one that you want to preserve, and that you're just beginning the process of making sure you never get into trouble, or maybe it's a marriage you want to preserve and you've been working on a long time. No matter where you are, this is the perfect time to bring in your reason why. When you know what your why is, it'll give you reason to go through whatever it takes. One of my favorite authors is Viktor Frankl. He wrote Man's Search for Meaning, which now would be Humanity's Search for Meaning, but this was written way back when man was used for everyone. And what Viktor Frankl said is, he who has a why can get through any how. In other words, the person who has the reason why they're doing something, the motivation why, they understand their aspirational desire for that, can get through any process, can go through any difficulty in order to get there, as long as they keep their eyes on the reason. Don't allow your fears to be your only motivational force. They are not your friend and they will not keep you motivated. But your aspirational beliefs, your aspirational reasons why you want to save your marriage can keep you through the process no matter where things are. Okay, if you haven't already, it's time to make that list. You know how to make that list and you know why to make that list. It's time to write it down. Don't just kind of think through it. This is not one of those where you think through. If you're trying to come up with your plan to save your marriage, this is the first part you want to have in front of everything else. Whatever ways you're going to do this, whatever techniques you're going to use, this is your motivational piece. This is the part that's going to direct you through the darkest days and the darkest nights to get to where you want to get to. So write the list down. Mark out all those fear ones and only focus on the aspirational reasons for how you save your marriage. If this has been helpful, and if you're at the beginning of your process and you haven't found the way to do it, now that you've got your why, you need your how. And the how you can find in my Save the Marriage system. The Save the Marriage system will give you an outline of what needs to happen in order to get to the right place and gives you steps, even if your spouse has no desire to be a part of this right now, that tells you how to begin the process in a straightforward way that is not manipulative. It is not using hypnotism. It is straightforward and effective. I invite you now, if you haven't already, to grab my Save the Marriage system by going to SaveTheMarriage.com. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you continue to work to save and improve your relationship no matter where it is.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.